In Mark chapter 1, you know, Jesus just cast out a devil. It's the first thing he does in his ministry is take on darkness. So we understand something. There's a spiritual war going on. Paul would say it this way: we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. So the truth of the matter is, what you see is not all there is. There is an eternity. There is a heaven. And there's also powers of darkness, and there's a hell. And I hope that somewhere along the line in your life, you will choose light and not darkness. You will choose the kingdom of the Son, whom God loves. And when you choose his Son, God has the privilege and the ability to lavish his love on you. Amen. On you. And that's why Jesus came. In Mark chapter 1, verse 29, it says this: and as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Lord, I ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and our lives today, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that there are things about eternity and about you, Lord, that never change. You came and you healed. Thank you, Lord, that you still heal today. And God, I just ask you by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to hear your word today. Thank you for the people of God gathered. Thank you for the celebration, the worship on their hearts. Now, Lord, speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So one of the things that's interesting about the book of Mark, you know, Mark was a traveling companion of Paul and Barnabas to begin with. And then on the first journey, missionary journey, he gets homesick, and well, they think he gets homesick. Anyway, he deserts Paul and Barnabas, and he doesn't want to go with them. And you know, Paul is such a stickler, he can't believe that he deserted him, and he gets a little mad, miffed at John Mark is his name. And on the second missionary journey, Barnabas wants to take John Mark, and Paul says, no, he deserted me once, and we're not having him again. And you know what happens? Paul and Silas go one way, and Barnabas and John Mark go another. Sometimes things don't go well. Sometimes people get mad at each other. And in this situation, it caused division, but it also caused two missionary trips instead of one. Don't ever underestimate what God wants to do through us. Even when people disappoint you, they can still be used by God. And everybody should say, thank you, Jesus. Because somewhere along our line, we have disappointed somebody. Somebody's looked at me and said, I just can't believe God will ever use that kid. Trust me, there's been more than one. But God is faithful. And so John Mark writes this story, and John Mark gets connected with Peter in the Acts. And so the story of the Gospel of Mark is Peter's story. I want to tell you that because the first miracle that really Jesus does in relationship to healing is Peter's mother-in-law. You're not too excited about mother-in-laws being healed. Jesus walks out of the synagogue there in Capernaum. And I've been there. If you go to Jerusalem, it's right there on the Sea of Galilee. It's a fishing village. Matter of fact, during Jesus' day, it was a resort village. They came to rest and relax and all that. And the synagogue there is quite magnificent. They've unearthed it. You can see the pillars. You can see it all right there. And you walk out of the door and there's this big monstrosity standing in front of it over not very far, like from here to the corner over there in the sanctuary. And there they have this big atrocity of a church built on top of Peter's mother-in-law's house. And when you're over there, you think, why in the world did they mess this up by building this church on top of it? And here's why they ended up doing that. All over Israel, there are churches built over holy sites that we would call holy sites. And the reason they did that is to protect it from the Muslims that would destroy those sites. They wouldn't touch the church. So outside of the synagogue, you walk a few hundred, maybe 100 yards, maybe 50 yards, and there's the mother-in-law's house where Jesus performed this miracle. It's quite amazing that we have that historical context that backs up what's written in the Word of God. Yeah. Some interesting thoughts. He heals on the Sabbath. You know, later on he gets in trouble for healing on the Sabbath because he can't figure it out. But there's something more important to Jesus than rules and regulations, and that's you. And that's me. And that's beautiful. And this house is not far. It's a private setting. Last week was public. This is private. Last week was loud and demonstrative. This is private. Aren't you glad God can move anywhere? He can move when you get on your knees in your prayer closet. And he can touch people in an auditorium. He's no respecter of where. He just is ready to respond to the cry of someone's heart. And here we see the tender actions of Jesus. He hears that she's sick and he goes and he stands by her bed. It's beautiful. He went to her as he heard of her sickness. He stood by her bed. That's my Jesus. Listen, if you've ever been sick, you're not alone. He stands with you. He knows how to do that. He took her by the hand. Luke puts it this way, because who is Luke? Luke's the doctor. Remember, he's the physician who's writing the story about Jesus. Listen to what Luke says in Luke 4:39. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Mark says he helped her up. I'm not kidding. This is really funny in some respects, but I'm not. It's really funny. I read one commentary. They said this. This is the most selfish miracle that Jesus ever did. So he healed her so he could go. She could go cook dinner for him. She began to wait on him. I don't know about you, but I don't. I think if Jesus showed up in my house, my longing would be to serve him. I would be very frustrated to be sick in the bed knowing that Jesus was in the house and I couldn't get up. And he comes to my aid to heal me so that now I can serve the one who deserves to be served. There's something beautiful about that. This lady was Peter's mother-in-law. This means this: Peter had a family. What does that mean? When Jesus said, come follow me and I'm going to make you fishers of men, his radical obedience didn't just cost him something. It cost his family something. It cost his relatives something. Listen, when you obey Jesus, it affects a lot of people. It affects a lot of people. Yeah. Total commitment. This is what I also know, that radical obedience to Jesus means he's going to take care of things you can't take care of. He's going to take care of your mother-in-laws. He's going to take care of your children. He's going to take care of your grandbabies. You can't do what Jesus can do. And that's why we surrender to him, so he can heal, so he can touch, so he can do what needs to be done for the sake of those whom we don't know, whom we can't touch. He's faithful that way. Amen? Yeah. She begins to wait on him, and evening comes, the scripture says. And the reason that's important, because it's the Sabbath. Do you understand it? The Sabbath. Nobody can move. Nobody can leave their house because it's the Saturday. It's the Sabbath. But evening comes, and now they're free to roam the streets. Now they're free to go do what they need to do. And where do they show up? They heard Jesus was in town. Mark says the whole town showed up at the door. Now that would be a surprising Sunday, wouldn't it? Everybody showed up at your door to eat your chicken and dumplings. No, they wouldn't get chicken and dumplings, would they? No. This is what scripture says. The whole town gathered at the door. The whole city at the door. They had to delay their coming till sunset at the closing of the Sabbath, and they heard he was in town. And it brought a crowd. It brought a crowd. And the scripture says this: Jesus heals many. He's still a healer. He still heals. He's good at healing. He responds to the needs before him. There have been times in my life where I had nowhere else to go but him. And unfortunately, sometimes we use him as the last resort. Can I tell you? He doesn't care when you come, but you should come. You should come. Sometimes we want to beat people up because they go to this, that, and that, and everything else. Listen to me. Come to Jesus. Whenever you can, come to Jesus. Stop running here and there. Come to Jesus. He won't mind that he's last. Make him first right now, today. Amen. He can change circumstances and situations. He can heal. Heal that you can't. And then the scripture says, and he drove out demons. Here it is again. The first miracle is the driving out of demons. And now it's demons again. People are demons. And it says this, he would not let the demons speak. Huh. This is what the scripture says, the reason why he wouldn't let them speak. They knew who he was. Think about that for a moment. The disciples didn't know fully who he was. His mama didn't really know who fully he was. His dad really didn't know fully who he was. Nobody really fully knew, but the dark side did. The demons knew who he was, and he wouldn't let them speak. Why is that, Pastor Larry? Because this is what I believe. The revelation of Jesus had to come. And the revelation of Jesus wasn't coming through darkness. It was coming through truth and love. You see, the darkness would have distorted. The darkness would have deceived. The darkness would have given a sliver of truth. They knew who he was. Why? Because he was from the beginning. He was from the beginning. Adam and Eve sinned. They listened. They were deceived by the serpent who talked. And the next verse says, and God came walking. How can God walk? He's a spirit. He came walking in the cool of the garden. Oh. I believe with all my heart that that's Jesus walking. Why? Because he, Jesus, is the Redeemer. He shows up when we sin. Like he did at the beginning with Adam and Eve. He shows up. Jesus was going to be revealed by light, by truth, not by the powers of darkness. Why give the powers of darkness a platform to manipulate? No, Jesus was going to reveal, and Jesus deserves the privilege to reveal himself. Darkness was not going to have that privilege. And so it is, he shows up. And humanity can't comprehend. You know, when Paul was on the Damascus Road and God, Jesus appeared before him, scales covered his eyes. He was blinded. We all have those scales. Humanity had those scales. They could not comprehend who Jesus was. They didn't even comprehend who Jesus was after he had rose from the grave. He had to come back and explain it to them. And then it was like the light switch turned on of who he was and what he was. Why? Because he came to reveal who God was. And we all have this scales in our front of our eyes that takes divine revelation, the divine work of the Spirit to reveal the truth of who Jesus is. That doesn't come through darkness. That comes from the kingdom of the Son of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't want it to come another way. I want that power of revelation to take the scales from my eyes. So I can see, behold him. You see, the demons were powerless before him. The demons were clamoring to speak, to get ahead of. But no, Jesus had the power to quiet them. Yeah. You see, Mark makes a distinction between those who are sick and those who are demon-possessed. In Mark chapter 3, he'll say this, for he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You're the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. In Mark 16, 13, they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil, and he healed them. Well, I thought this anointing with oil was only something done in the New Testament by the elders of the church, but here it is, Jesus, his anointing with oil. Oh, and he healed them. No wonder the church does what Jesus does. They come to Jesus. They ask him to touch, to change, to heal. Here's the interesting thing. Jesus is at Peter's mother-in-law's house. He isn't going to look for those who are sick. The sick come to him. That's what James says. Those of you who are sick, let him call upon the elders of the church. Pastor, you never called me when I was sick. I'm not a mind reader. I do have some spiritual gifts, but that's not one of them. Your job, your responsibility is to let people know you need prayer. Don't you dare manipulate people in such a way where you have this own little pity party going around making people feel sorry. God, the pastor never called me, never called me. That's not the pastor's job to call you when you are sick. I say that in love. Listen, the enemy wants to use things to drive wedges and to keep woundedness alive in your heart. Don't let him play you. Yeah. They came to Jesus. They called on Jesus. You know what that means? If you're sick, call somebody. Well, I don't want anybody to know that I'm sick. Then be sick. That's not how it works. And here's the other thing. When you play that game, you're cheating the body of Christ from being the family of God. Matter of fact, you're excluding yourself from the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is to care for one another, is to love on one another, is to pray one for another. And if you never tell people that you're sick, then you have excluded yourself from the body of Christ and you're, well, sick. Don't do that to people. Don't do that to people. We're the body of Christ. Can I tell you something? When I'm sick, I'm going to let you know it. You know why? Because I believe in the power of prayer. And I believe in the power of your prayer. Do you hear me? Yes. That's what God gave us. Yes. And the people who were sick came to him. The whole town gathered at the front door. Trick or treat. Right there. And the scripture says, and he healed them. And he healed them. Why'd they come? Why did they come? They didn't recognize who Jesus was. Another miracle worker. Just another person giving us signs and wonders. But let me tell you, one bigger than a miracle worker was here. I hope Jesus is more than just a miracle worker in your life. I hope Jesus is more than just a provider in your life. I hope Jesus, he's the Holy Son of God. The demons declared that. I hope you know more than the demonic world knows about Jesus. You're not going to know that just because you've read it in the pages. You're going to know that because you've knelt before him and cried out to know him who came in the flesh to reveal himself to you so the scales can fall from your eyes and you catch the behold the love, behold the majesty, behold the omnipotence, behold the power, behold the glory. And one day we're going to stand before that King. Hallelujah. And we're going to cast our crowns at his feet. And every time I want to get in prayer and stand before him, kneel before him, I want to practice heaven. Amen. Practice heaven. He had come to preach the kingdom of God. Who's the kingdom of God? Jesus. His name is Jesus. Yeah. And some people only saw someone who could heal them. He's bigger than a healer. He had come to take on spiritual darkness. He had come to vanquish the powers of darkness. He had come to make a public spectacle of the enemy's plan and purpose. He had come to win something, to win a battle you couldn't fight. He came to take on what you couldn't take on in your behalf and become a victor for you. And when you grab a hold of him, you grab his victory. When you receive him, you receive his resurrection power. The scripture declares that same power that raised Christ from the dead is alive in us because we dare to take hold of him who conquered hell and the grave. Don't miss him. Do not miss him. Don't miss him. and don't make him just Tylenol. He's more than that. Don't miss the Holy One who has come into your world to do more than relieve pain. He came to heal you, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your whole being. He came to restore a relationship with the Father. He came to provide an eternity for you. Did you hear me? Because I don't think you heard me. He came to prepare an eternity for you. For you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He comes to make me an overcomer. He comes to make you an overcomer. He comes to make me victorious. Glory to God. He comes to make you victorious. Victorious. I don't have to give in to the powers of darkness. I don't have to give in to the emotional feelings of my life. Why? Because I know him. I know him. Glory to God. I may feel bad today, but listen, tomorrow, hallelujah. Amen. There is hope in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Don't miss him. Don't miss him. He's not interested in just being in your eternity. He's interested in being in your todays. Glory to God. Don't miss him. He's liable to show up when you don't have the strength to serve and stand by your bed if you'll cry out to him. Grab you by the hand. Lift you up. And if he doesn't, he has an eternity for you. He has an eternity for you. You know, the hard thing about pastoring sometimes is saying goodbye to people you never want to say goodbye to. This morning, I went over to Connections Church to cook the sausage. That's my job on Sunday morning, is to cook the sausage. And the only jacket I had in my office is a jacket Gail Wood gave me that belonged to Dr. John. It's a red, white, and blue jacket with an eagle on the back. I should have brought it in here. And it's got Woody across the shoulders. He wore it when he rode his motorcycle. It's the coolest jacket you've ever seen. It's corny as tomorrow. All them homeless guys love that jacket because it's red, white, and blue, got stars and an eagle on the back. And we'll sit down one day and talk again. Aren't you thankful what he does? I've had to say goodbye to a lot of people that I love dearly. But it's never goodbye. See you later. Because my Jesus has prepared a place for them. Amen? Bow your heads with me, please. In a moment, we're going to pray for the sick. Because I believe Jesus is here. And he still heals. You think about, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to come. If you're sick and need a healing, I'm going to invite you to come down here. But here's the other thing. If you don't know Jesus, he wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your victory. He wants to be what he came to be, what he came to do, take away the sins of the world, to seek and to save that which was lost. If you don't know him today, When people come down for prayer this morning, why don't you join them? Why don't you come and say, Jesus, I need to know you. Please forgive me of all my sins. Heal me. Make me one of your overcomers. Make me one of your children today, Lord. Amen. Amen.